Hi, everybody. I've got this square right in front of my face. All right. Hello. Come on in. Let me kind of, how do I look? Does my light look all right? It's just so, it's dark and rainy outside. And I think I look all right. Maybe my lighting isn't quite as good as Corinne's. She's got all the fancy lights. But I've got this light I could use, but I don't think I'm too dark. How is everybody doing tonight? Hello, Miss Anne Marie. Miss Keitha. We already got one person raising their hand. Thank you. I love this sweater. Nice and bright for today on a day that is not super bright here in Arkansas by any means. How is everybody doing? Before we get started, how is everybody doing with the on-the-clock challenge this week? Super fascinating, right? To just get super curious about your hunger and really, really just explore whether it is real hunger. Which, if it is, great, you eat. Or maybe it's just a little bit of, you need some water, which I've got a full bottle of water right here. And this, maybe you're just a little dehydrated, right? Or maybe it's just okay to sit with a little hunger. I will tell y'all tonight, I am sitting with some hunger. I am probably at pretty close to negative two right now. And I got 2 hours to go before dinner. And I'm hoping that I will be seeing my husband drive. I look straight out the window to the front yard here. I will be seeing my husband drive up here before too long and start making my dinner. Because I told him, let's have tacos and you're cooking. So that's my plan. So let me know if you have any questions about the On the Clock Challenge. Y'all, next week is the Hunger Scale Challenge. And for those of you elders, know about our hunger scale challenges that we have coming up. And that will be challenging more the plus two side as opposed to the negative two side. And for those of you all who know about the hunger scale challenge, I have gotten a sneak peek. And it's going to be a little bit different this time. Corinne has come up with some new challenges. And so I'm super excited to see how that goes and to do some coaching around that. Gail said she was hangry after walking 10 miles this morning. Well, if I'd walked 10 miles this morning and was hungry and hadn't eaten, I'd probably get hangry too. So eat you something after you walk that 10 miles. All right. Yes, y'all, wasn't the relationships workshop amazing? Just amazing last weekend. If you all weren't there last weekend, the course is up. If somebody wants to post the link to the relationships course, the workshop, we recorded the whole thing. Coach Kathy divided up all the videos, and you all can go in there. We've linked the workbook in there, and it's all in there. You can just go through it yourself. But I was actually just talking to one of my private clients about this. I really encourage you all to dedicate and commit to specific time to do that. A lot of you all who were there last weekend just decided to just, you know, shut yourself in your bedroom or, you know, your basement or wherever and just really commit to doing it and to doing all the worksheets because we gave you specific time to do the worksheets and all that kind of stuff. Thank you, Brooke, for posting that link. And that's what I want everyone to do, because you know you can absolutely break it up and watch things here and there, but really commit to doing the work and doing all the individual worksheets, because that's where the learning happens. That's where the big stuff happens. So all right. Yes, it was just like being like in Nashville, but we were just all in our bedrooms. So all righty, we got some hands raised, so let's get to coaching. And let's see, we've got G. Duffy, Rhonda, Teresa, and Mary Ann up first. And then Michelle, you just raised your hand, so Michelle Q. So let's get started. And whoever wants to, let's see, Marianne. Okay, you're on. I'm looking at the questions real quick. I've not seen this challenge. If you haven't seen the on the clock challenge, that was all in your Massive Action Line newsletter that you get every Sunday at noon. So be sure you're getting that newsletter in your email. And it talked all about the on the clock challenge. You can search hashtag on the clock, I believe. Is that right, y'all? And you'll be able to find it in the Facebook page. But everything y'all need to know about what's going on every week is in the Massive Action Line newsletter that you get through email. And if for some reason you're not getting it or you're not finding it, you can always search for Massive Action in your email and just make sure it's not going to spam or junk or whatever. And then if you still don't see it, just email support at pnptribe.com. And Miss Anna, who is Corinne's mom, we call her Manny. She will help you get, make sure that you're on the list and you're getting the emails. So, just super simple to do that. And by the way, for you newbies, I know we've, y'all been around for a while now, but there may be some folks who are new to Zoom calls. This may be your first Zoom call. Just know that you are, no one can see you. I'm only on screen right now, and then I'm going to be bringing some folks up to coach. But if you want to get coached, just click on raise your hand. But if you don't, then you can just watch and no one else can see you or hear you. So it's pretty amazing, this technology that we have these days, right? Especially when we're at home a little bit more than usual. So, all right, let's get going. G Duffy, you are up first. We got a good little cue going. I know it takes a little.
Can you see me?
Yeah, I can't see you. I can hear you. Let me ask you to start your video.
Okay.
There you are. Hey, what's your first name?
Gina.
You're Gina. Okay. All right. What's going on?
I joined PNP last April. And the last few months, I've not been doing any work.
Tell me why.
I guess I just quit basically. Mm-hmm. And I had been toying with the idea of quitting, mm-hmm. but I changed my mind and decided I wanted to, dig in and work a little harder. Mm-hmm. But I hopped on here last week and did a coaching call, with Kathy, mm-hmm. and, I decided that I'm going to pick back up and do everything that I'm supposed to do. But this week I've done amazing at making plans every single day. Mm-hmm. I got an accountability partner that I'm communicating with every day, and it's a super big help. So what I'm trying to work on right now is eating after dinner when I'm not hungry. Right. And this is something that I want to spend as much time as needed to figure out. I do great for breakfast. I do great at lunch throughout the day. I don't really struggle, mm-hmm. but it's post dinner that I have such a hard time identifying what's going on. Becca, she's my accountability partner. She recommended that I listen to the free podcast that Corinne did on, I think it was called Eating at 8.
Yes. Yeah. That just came out recently. Yeah.
So I watched that or listened to it, mm-hmm. and it was helpful. And I've practiced since I listened to it some of the suggestions, but I still find myself like, and it's not like I just over, first off, when I do it, I'm not hungry, mm-hmm. and I binge eat. So it's not.
What is happening? So let's, you're familiar with the model, right? You've been around uh-huh. a little while. So it's 8 p.m.
Well, it's not 8 p.m. It's just post-dinner.
Let's do after dinner. And so after dinner, and the action is binge. Mm-hmm. So what's going on here with your thoughts and your feelings? What are you, I mean, what are you thinking about? What sentences go through your mind that lead you to eat more when you're not? And after dinner, and we'll say not hungry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about hunger. So what is it about?
I wanted to say that it was lonely because my husband, he doesn't come home. Sometimes he's home in the evening. Sometimes he works late. But even when he's home, I still do it. So that can't be it.
Okay.
I think some of it, a thought that does come up is that I'm not ready to go to bed, or it might be a habit of putting me to bed.
Yes. And I was going to say, if it's something that you're just doing in a lot of different situations, right? Like whether your husband is home or not, it is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a habit. And it's just something that, you know, our brain is always looking to develop more habits, you know, to just do the same thing over and over again. And right. So, you know, you talked about kind of trying these other things, and I want to talk about that in a minute, that you heard about on the podcast and stuff. But yeah, it's just a matter of you're going to try some of these things, and your brain's going to throw up, wait a minute, though, this is a habit that we have. This is what we always do. We don't want to do something different. And so you have to hear that and say, no, I am doing something different because I want to do something different. And so you've got to be okay with having that kind of resistance there to doing something new.
Okay.
But what have you tried that you heard about on the podcast?
The two things that really stuck out to me were your behaviors in the evening start early in the morning and how you talk to yourself throughout the day. So I did practice with that, and I noticed throughout the day that I do. I think I've done a coaching call one other time about to-do lists. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, for a long time, I've been in a routine of approaching my life with a to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
I paid more attention to what I was saying to myself throughout the next day. And it was a lot of, I have to do this, and I have to do that, I have to do this. And sometimes, not as frequently as the I have to's, but I do also, you know, every once in a while use the, I'm doing this all on my own, or it's all on me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I tried to rephrase and reframe the next day after I realized it. The next day, I was like, okay, well, let's practice something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to reframe things and say, you know, I get to do this, or I choose to do this. And it did help. I felt a lot more at peace throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But that evening, I still...
Okay.
And every evening since I listened to that podcast.
So what did you make it mean? Let's stop there for a second. What did you make it mean that you still binged that night after you had kind of tried something new? What did you make that mean?
I still feel better by talking to myself and reframing things differently, but it's still not, I need to keep trying things until I can figure out how to address this eating when I'm not hungry at night.
So have you been practicing this reframing day after day?
Yeah.
Even if you end up eating at night still?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what definitely I want you to keep going with it, right? Because it's not something that's just going to change overnight, right? It's a process. It's a practice. But what's so great is that you're already seeing the benefit of, oh, if I talk better to myself during the day, you know, maybe eventually I will work on this overeating thing at night, but it's not just going to happen immediately, and that's okay.
Okay.
You know, it's just being okay with still doing the same behavior because it's a habit that you've done for how long?
Oh, I'm 32 years old. Yeah. I have done this literally my entire life.
So you got to be realistic, right, about how change happens and about how habits are changed, right? It's just practicing the patience of, okay, I have these tools, which is great, right? Because before you didn't even have the tools, you didn't even know what to do to change. But now, okay, I'm practicing these tools, but again, I've got to practice the biggest tool that you've got to practice is patience in this process. And so I think for you, it's just to keep utilizing those tools in terms of talking better to yourself and and speaking about things in terms of choices, right? Because we choose everything. Other than death, we choose everything else, right, in life. And so if we're talking to ourselves in that way, in terms of, okay, I'm choosing everything in life, then yeah, you're not, over time, you're not looking for that relief from the food at the end of the day. Because it makes total sense that if you're talking crappy to yourself all day, then you're desperate for relief at the end of the day, right?
Right.
And so that's why you're overeating. So it's real clear why this is happening. But you just have to recognize it as a process to change it, right? And not judge yourself if you continue to overeat for a while.
Yeah. Do you have any other suggestions or have you had any other coaching calls where maybe other members have been, you know, successful trying some other things? Yeah. Like, do I need to do, this is a habit, so do I need to try something that can, what are your suggestions with breaking a habit?
Yeah. So I think you for sure keep working on that self-talk during the day so that, and but then also thinking about, okay, what else, how else could I kind of break up this pattern? Because you have a pattern, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you really want to get to know what that pattern is now of, okay, what happens, you know, after dinner, I maybe go sit on the couch and I, so tell me about that pattern. What do you do after dinner that then ends up with the overeating?
I always watch an hour of TV post dinner and then I go to the kitchen and I binge eat and then I go straight to bed. It's like that habit.
Okay. So how could you break up that pattern and do something different to where your brain is like, wait a minute, wait, this isn't the same pattern. So you might be less likely to overeat because you're doing something different beforehand. So what could you do differently after dinner? Go ahead.
I've noticed that when I get off work at 5 p.m., I'm hungry. And for at least a year or longer, I've always went home, had a snack, and then did chores and went and did my exercise. And then I'd come home and I'd be eating a later dinner, 7 to 8 p.m., and then I would binge. So I was like, you know, why don't I try eliminating that 5 o'clock snack and just eat dinner? Mm-hmm. And then I go walk and do my chores, and I'm moving, so it helps kind of like, you know, settle some of that. And then watch TV and then go to bed. But I still have that binge pocket. But the great thing is I'm not having a 5 o'clock snack, a late dinner, and binging. I'm just having dinner and then a binge. Now that's a little bit of a habit change.
Yes, absolutely. And you want to think about it in incremental changes, right? You don't want to think about it as just, I mean, you want to think about that patience in terms of, you know, it's going to take some time and some trial and error to kind of figure this out. But yeah, I think for you, go ahead.
This just came up. So I think some of it may be fear because I've always binge ate before I went to bed. It almost like puts me to sleep. And I fear, I've tried going to sleep without doing it. And I end up waking up, you know, at midnight or something, I'm hungry. And then I will go eat. And then I go, it calms me. It makes me go to sleep. And I almost wonder if I'm doing it out of fear. Like I'm scared that I'm going to wake up at 12 o'clock and be hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. So what if you wake up? So why would you be, are you eating dinner pretty early, or why would you wake up and be hungry?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I was eating dinner between 7 and 8 and then binge eating. You know, I go to bed around 9:30. So my binge has happened before the 9:30.
Yeah.
Now I'm eating at 5 and then I'm still having that binge before. I guess I'm scared to go to bed like hungry. It's comforting. It like helps me sleep.
And you've got to stop saying that, right? I mean, you've got to.
I've never really said it though. I'm only aware of.
Just now aware of it. Okay. So you've got that awareness now, but you've got to question that, right? Like, okay, I keep telling myself that I need this food to sleep, that, you know, it comforts me. But, you know, Corinne talks all the time how if we just keep saying that, then our brain hears that and it's just going to throw up an urge for food every time, you know, every time you, you know, you're looking for comfort,
mm-hmm.
right? But is it true? Does food really comfort you?
Yes. I mean, what does comfort me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what comforts me.
Mm-hmm. That's something that you just want to think about. You maybe want to journal on.
Okay.
Does food really comfort me? And how am I defining comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you want to think about it long term, right? Does food really comfort me long term?
Mm-hmm.
And no, because if you're wanting to lose weight, then, and you're eating, you know, you're overeating, then you're not going to feel comfort long term, right? If you're wanting to lose weight. And
yeah.
So you have to question that thought and say, okay, I'm aware of this thought now. This is what I'm thinking. This is definitely a thought that's contributing to why I continue to overeat at night. But is it really true?
Right.
And
to know that, I'm going to have to explore what comforts me.
Right.
So that's a good thing I can leave from this call and attempt.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel like my compelling reason is not big enough in that moment. Because when I go to the pantry or the refrigerator and I start this binge, I tell myself, you're not going to lose weight like this. You know, I tell myself that. But, you know, this internal dialogue is like, well, you know, I'm 32 and I've, you know, been this way my whole life. Like, it's okay for a few more, you know, whatever. And, you know, like, what do I need to do to?
It's another hack. And I'm going to go through some people in the chat have given us some good ideas too. But a brush your teeth after dinner. You tried that?
That won't work for me.
Okay. Well, it's good that you're honest that it won't work. Okay. Another thing is putting sticky notes like in the area of the kitchen, like something so that you can see something. So you don't just depend on your brain to tell you, you know, this won't help me with my goals, but you actually see it external from me.
Huh? My brain has no problem telling me.
Yeah.
I know it when I'm doing it. It's not mindless. It's very.
Yeah, but your brain is telling you. I mean, but you also say your brain is telling you like, but this won't. But that's not working, right? You've got to have these external triggers that you just try. You know, these different ways of doing it, where you know, right when you're going into the kitchen, you have all of these messages that are outside of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That will just kind of interrupt. We're looking for something to interrupt that pattern, right?
Okay.
And so wherever, you know, the cabinet that you go to immediately, I know in my kitchen, I have one cabinet that has, you know, kind of all the snacky stuff. And, you know, that's where I have a sticky note that says, okay, is this decision going to get you the goals you want, right?
Okay.
Or something like that. Let's see what other people said. You know, definitely interrupting the pattern. Someone said putting energy into something else like organizing, cleaning, going for a walk, but not just, you know, you want to do something that really feels just like, you know, you watch TV for an hour. What's something else that you could enjoy doing that would be different than watching TV?
I just want to make sure that I'm doing something that I can do for the rest of my life.
Yes,
I know exactly. For the rest of my life, I want to watch TV for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do, I could change that, but I know it's going to be temporary just to lose the weight. And then,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I'm glad you're thinking like that. You're thinking about realistically, you know, what can I do for the rest of my life? That's absolutely the question you want to ask yourself. But that doesn't mean that you can't change, you know, your routine and do something else differently. But what's realistic for you right now?
Right. Okay.
And let's see, there's anything
else. What do skinny people do?
Well, it's all these things we're talking, because it doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you've lost your weight or not. Mm-hmm. It's all of these ideas are things that you just have to try, but you have to stick with them for a while, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to practice that patience and say, okay, it's not just doing it one day and I never binge again.
I think that the two biggest things that I pull from this call, mm-hmm. is having patience and understanding that it's not going to change just because I listened to one podcast and, yes. you know, listened to myself for 2 days.
Yes.
So to continue to be persistent.
Yes.
And then the other thing is to really I need to journal and dive into what does actually comfort me, because we all know food does not comfort. That's, that's not even true.
That's a lie that you tell yourself. That's just exactly. a lie that you tell yourself. And it's just questioning that and deciding what you want to think instead.
And then how I define comfort, or what the true definition of comfort is. I need to really hone in on that.
Yes. The last thing that so let me ask you this. Are you planning? Are you putting these binges on your plan?
Yeah, I normally in my snack box, I'll just put a whole bunch of stuff on there just because I've been dealing with this for so long.
Yeah. Because that's really the first step, is that you want to and you want to be realistic about if it's everything, you know, everything that you are eating, you want to be, it want it to be on your plan, just so you can practice meeting yourself where you are and following your plan no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. So be sure you're doing that too early on. And then you can just gradually level up as you start to try some of these things, as you start to, you know, just level up. And it could be just, it starts out with you eat less food at first. And, or you choose two or three things at first, and then you go from there. It can be that incremental and that step-by-step process. So just don't have any rules about how long this is supposed to take, what it's supposed to look like. It's just practicing that patience and just not having expectations about how it's supposed to happen. Because it's different for everyone. And just really having that compassion for yourself. Just, I'm working on this.
Right.
Yeah.
Wednesdays are open office hours. Are there any other times that are open? Is it just Wednesdays or?
No, on Sundays, Corinne has open office hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, Sunday, that's great.
Sundays at noon, yeah.
So what I'll do is just keep on trying some things between today's Wednesday through Sunday. I'm just going to keep hopping on here. I am going to figure this out.
Okay. Well, somebody will be here on Wednesdays. And there's been so much, there's been so much activity in the chat. And I stayed on with you because I think that this is such an important topic and something that so many people are dealing with. Just, you are not alone. Absolutely. And so I just think you coming on here and just helping other people, that's really what's happening. So I'm proud of you for getting on here. And
thank you.
All right. Take care.
Have a good evening.
All right. Bye. Okay. Oh my gosh, y'all, there's so much stuff in the chat I want to read, but I'm going to keep going. We're talking about pattern interrupts and all kinds of things. All right, Rhonda. We got Rhonda, Teresa, and Mary Ann up next. Rhonda.
Can you hear me?
I can. Let me ask you to start your video.
I don't
want
to do that.
I think you should see something pop up. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. All right. My issue is I watched the binge videos on the website yesterday, and I have decided that I need to stop trying to lose weight and just start trying to work on the binges. Mm-hmm. And I planned a binge, and now I'm like all jumbly about it because I did it. I did the "this is unappealing because" list that Corinne had said. But anyway, I just want some help with that.
Okay, so what's jumbling? What's still confusing, or what do you have questions on?
It's not really, I have a lot of shame, yeah. I guess. And so I don't know how to move forward, I guess, because I was so used to trying to, I had it in my head, oh yeah, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to do my plans, I'm going to do all this, and yada, yada, yada. And then it just hit me. It's like, well, you're binging every 3 days, and I'll binge, and then, you know, the next morning I'll buy a bunch of food and I'll eat it over 3 or 4 days after. I just blow everything blows up. And
okay. So you've got, you're feeling shame with doing that. So why do you feel shame? What is the thought?
I'm going to end up like my mother.
I'm going to end up like my mother. Okay. And that's, you know, that's some amazing awareness, right? Of just, you were able to give that to me right away, right? I mean, you know why this is, that you're feeling shame about this. But how else could you feel about it? Because binges, believe it or not, this is something that I continue to work on because I do binge every once in a while. They are a totally neutral circumstance, right? They are totally just a fact. Now that you've, let's say you had a binge yesterday, it's just part of the path now, right? And you get to show up here however you want. And so, and the fact that you've just recognized that it's not about weight loss right now just tells me that you're really wanting to work on this, right? You're really wanting to figure this out. I'm so proud of you for that, because I think that's something that's hard, right? Because we just want to lose the weight.
But right. I want to be over it. But
yeah.
I've changed my life so much. I've tried to take out every stressor. I've tried to take out, I mean, my life is freaking easy. I don't understand why I want to get over this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why you have to just put aside the weight loss for a little while and say, okay, it's not about this. It's about me really figuring this out. And it's, you've got to put aside the weight loss because you've got to work on the shame that you've got around it. So tell me about how you think you're going to end up like your mother.
Well, she had a lot of depression, and she was older, so she lived in a time where they didn't have things like therapy or, you know, anybody to even tell you that, hey, everybody's going through this. You know, it's kind of, her family is real judgmental and stuff. And, but she ate uncontrollably for her. She ate her emotions just like I'm doing, and ate and slept a lot. And I do those same things. I eat and I take naps, or then she had a lot of anger. She didn't accomplish any goals that she set. I want to accomplish goals that I set.
I already see you accomplishing goals, right? I see you setting aside the weight loss and really choosing to focus on this binging thing. Right? And I see you as very different than your mother. Now that I know a little bit about her, how are you going to show up as Rhonda with this?
I don't know.
How do you want to feel about your binges? Because again, this is something that, you know, I'm at my goal weight, and I know that, I mean, and I've maintained it for a while now, and I know that I'm going to binge again. And I'm okay with that, because I know that that's just something that I might do again. Take a break.
I'd like to you know, the dream, I'd like to not be affected by food.
Mm-hmm. But let's get realistic. Right. I mean, that's, you know, that's a little ways down the line, right? And I don't think I'm there yet, but how do you want to, what's just a realistic place for you to be? Not a pie in the sky. Go ahead.
I'd like to be able to write everything I'm going to eat down and stick to it.
Okay. And no matter what it is, right? No matter what on the plan.
Because like yesterday, even when I planned the binge, it wasn't enough. I started drinking because it's like I wanted to break that plan to be a rebel.
Okay.
And it's like I always want to break that plan so I can be bad or a rebel or feel ashamed about myself. Why do I keep?
That is so normal, Rhonda, because I mean, your brain is used to feeling a certain way. It's used to feeling that shame. It's used to feeling that rebellious. So just want to keep feeling, it wants to keep feeling the same way. And when you start making plans and wanting to stick to plans, your brain is like, wait, what? What are we doing here? This is not what we're used to doing, right? So it's totally normal. And so it's going to take some work, right? It's going to take some practice of, oh, okay, I put all this food on my plan and I didn't follow it because I wanted to add this, this, and this. Well, tomorrow I'm going to add this, this, and this to it.
Okay.
I'm going to work to follow it again. But how do you need to feel to continue to adjust your plan, make that realistic plan, and work on sticking to it?
I know it's not motivated.
No. Motivation comes later. Sorry, I wish I could, you know, give that to you, but go ahead.
Hopeful has worked before. I actually believe it.
Well, and you may just be working on believing it, right? I mean, you're working on believing something new that you can be different than your mom. Right. And that you can be Rhonda, you know, and we call it like a ladder thought or kind of a intermediate thought where it's like something like I'm working on believing. And that's something you can put at the beginning of any thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on believing, you know, I can be me or I can figure this out. Or I'm working on this, right? And hopeful, what else? What? You know, hopeful is good, but you want to have a little bit more ammunition in your arsenal. I like to think of it, you know, as going to war. It's not going to war, but it's And how does this feel? I'm working on believing I can be me. And I can figure this out.
I can do this, but it seems hokey. I don't believe it.
Right. And that's another thought, right? I'm working on believing I can do this.
Okay.
You know, but what's a one word feeling?
I need my feelings wheel.
I got mine. Just handy right here. Let's see what we got here. I'm just going to throw a few out there for you. I don't know. I don't like any of these.
Okay, hopeful.
Let's see. What about curious?
Okay, yeah.
Compassionate. Those are two of my favorite, curious and compassionate.
Okay.
But here's another one. If you're going to be doing something new, a realistic feeling for you is probably some discomfort, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is for all of you all. This is kind of like my big things right now. All of y'all need to be working on intentional models that have discomfort in the feeling line.
Okay.
Because that's the real deal, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying painful, you know, slogging through weight loss, but yeah, there's going to be a little bit of discomfort there when you're doing something new and your brain is wanting you to rebel, right?
Yeah, because it starts throwing up those shame and anger stuff.
Because when you feel that discomfort, that shame, it comes up and says, oh, I'll never get this. It shouldn't feel this way, right? It shouldn't be so hard. But if you know that you're signing up for a little bit of discomfort, then when you feel it, you can just say, oh, there's that discomfort that I know is part of the deal. Mm-hmm. Right? And then, if you're also coming from this curious place of, okay, it feels a little uncomfortable, but, you know, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And, you know, I'm working on believing that I can do this, that I can be different. And then you just work on sticking to the plan, right? And you just do the process. But again, this, you know, when I say stick to plan, that doesn't mean you're 100% going to stick to it, right?
Right.
But you're going to, the purpose of the plan is to not follow it 100%. I mean, I don't know anyone that follows it 100%, and I almost might be a little worried about somebody who follows it 100%, because if you follow it 100%, you're not ever learning, you know, you're not ever growing. And so you're just, let's see. So I won't say stick to plan. I'll say you practice.
Get close. Practice. Okay.
Practice sticking to the plan, and you assess and adjust. That's what I'm talking about for a realistic action line, right? You practiced it, sticking to it. You assess it and say, okay, what worked today? You know, all those questions that we ask in the planner, what worked today? And what, you know, what can I do tomorrow to make weight loss easy? There's that question in there, all of that. But you just look at it and say, okay, I added some extra food. So what am I going to do tomorrow? I'm going to add that food on there. And just keep practicing and keep moving forward.
So just continue to do everything as usual.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the weight. I don't want to weigh.
No.
Do you think that's cool not to weigh?
I think you need to focus on, because, I mean, you probably, after listening to those binge calls, probably a big thing you got was, you know, you can kind of focus on binging, or you can focus on weight loss, especially
if I get restrictive. Because that's what threw me off. I was doing okay. Well, you know, I was feeling better about it. But I think with the discomfort, I need to sit through the discomfort and just pick everything apart when I do the binges.
But for you, it may be a process of like, okay, I like to say, like, give yourself a teaspoon of discomfort at first. Right. And you may end up still overeating after that. Right. We are talking about a process of very small incremental steps where, okay, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes of discomfort. That's going to be my win today, is that I sat through discomfort for 30 seconds even.
Okay. And so I could do it for like an hour.
Yeah. And then and then I may end up still overeating afterwards, but that win of 36 seconds of discomfort, I am going to celebrate. Right.
Okay.
So that's how small it has to start. But if you just stick with it, you keep growing from there, you know, and if you're not in a hurry, if you're not on a timeline, then all of this can build on itself. And that's how true change really happens, how habit change really happens.
So maybe I should figure out how many times I'm binging per week and then try to maybe whittle it down, think?
No. Well, over time, yes. But
over time.
I just think you make a realistic plan every day. I want you to have that food on that plan every day. And then you get to make the decision on whether you eat it or not. You can always not eat it.
Okay.
Right? But you've got to have it. You've got to meet yourself where you are every day. And then okay. you know, and that's the magic of the realistic plan, is that, you know, for a week or two, you might eat it every day, but you're still following your plan. And that's mm-hmm. the plan that you get that day, you know, on those days. And then after a while, you may think, you know what? You know, I might like, I kind of feel like crap. This doesn't feel great. Or, you know, I'm tired of this, of doing this every day. So then,
yes.
I'm going to, you know, I may be still going to put it on my plan, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to maybe decide to eat a little bit less tomorrow, or to not eat it at all. But it is small, incremental, level up steps like that. But okay. it's always on your, you know, it's all, you're always making a realistic plan.
Okay.
Sense?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, this was great. These two calls were awesome. So helpful for people. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. I just, again, I know those went a little long, but I just think those are so, that's just such important stuff for us to be talking about. Let me see. Y'all, the feelings wheel is in the feelings lesson of No BS. So, yeah, and some of y'all just might not be there yet. So, okay. Excuse me. All right. Teresa, you're up next. Probably try to move a little bit quicker this. All right. Let's see. There you are. I can see you. Let me unmute you. Here we go. Are you there?
Okay.
Hi.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm really nervous. So I think I want a little help with some models.
Okay.
So I'm working on not eating at night. That's where I struggle. I've been working on it for a while. And something happened today that has got me very anxious, and I do not want to eat tonight. I eat at night.
Okay.
So I've been journaling and modeling all afternoon, but I'm not really getting anywhere with my thoughts.
Okay. So is anxious in the feeling line?
Yes.
Okay. And you're feeling, well, you're saying like you're feeling anxious, and often you eat when you're anxious, and
yes.
so you're trying to not do that. You're trying to kind of do something different this time.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking that leads you to feel anxious? Why are you feeling anxious?
So I got a phone or a message today from my son, who has a drug addiction problem, from his best friend, asking if she could come over and talk to me tonight.
Okay.
And I'm just anxious about what she wants to talk to me about.
Okay. So it was a phone call or a text?
It was a text message.
Okay. Text message. All right. So text message from your son's friend. So what about, you know, what are you really telling yourself about what she might say, what you might learn? What is it that's really creating the anxiety?
Well, she's never really talked to me before like this. So I'm thinking that she's either, as I kicked him out of my house and I won't let him live with me anymore. So I think she's either coming to plead his case or to come and tell me that he's not doing well.
Okay. So
both of those make me very anxious.
Okay. So, let's see. I'm just going to say, like, she could say, so what about, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper here. And this is really good kind of just to know for modeling when you're working on models. So you're thinking like she could say this or this. And so, mm-hmm. And kind of to peel back another layer, you want to, I'll ask you, okay, so what? Let's say that she comes and says that your son isn't doing well. So what do you make that mean about you?
That I'm a bad mom?
You're a bad mom. Yeah. Was it really anxiety?
Well, I've been working through it for a while, and but I haven't had any contact with him since January at all, and I don't know. I thought I was over the guilt, but I'm not.
Yeah, and that's what's happening, right? This is bringing that back up again. Is this something that you've modeled before?
A lot.
Okay.
So, and I did the relationship course last weekend and on him.
Okay. So what did you do any models with, you know, what, how you could, how you want to feel about him, about what might be happening with him?
Yeah, a little bit. And I'm doing the journal prompts every day that were in the relationship course. They're very deep.
I mean, you feel the guilt and then you overeat.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is kind of the model that you're wanting to work on kind of interrupting and
Right.
And just to kind of finish this out, the result, you know, you think you're a bad mom, you feel guilty, you overeat, and it's just kind of perpetuating the bad. You know, I'm a bad mom. If I'm a bad mom, I might as well overeat and just be a bad, you know, everything kind of thing. You know, what's the point of everything kind of thing? So,
right.
Okay. So have you worked on any intentional models or?
I did a little bit, but I don't think that it's even close to being right.
Okay. Or maybe what is one part that you think is even though there's no such thing as a wrong model, you know, a model that you've done is right because you've done it right. And so, what do you think is, so how do you want to feel about the text message? Maybe let's start with the feeling line.
Well, I want to feel compassion for myself and for my son.
Yeah. Have you felt compassion for yourself and your son through this ever?
Oops, I lost you. Oops. There.
Okay.
Can you hear me still? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Have you felt compassion through this in the past?
Yeah. When I took him to rehab the second time. Mm-hmm. And then I let him move home with me. He just turned 23, but he was home for 2 years and saying he was clean. And then he left and he wasn't. I found plenty of evidence proving otherwise when I packed up all his stuff.
So were you feeling compassionate towards yourself and him when you packed up his stuff and you said that he couldn't?
No, I was feeling very sad.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed and it was not good.
Okay, so let's go back to when you helped him through, when you put him into rehab the second time. What were you thinking that led you to put him into rehab when you were feeling?
Well, he didn't have a choice. He was in jail and he either had to stay in jail or go to rehab. But he asked me to take him. I'm sorry, what?
Why did you send him to rehab that time?
Well, I drove him there. The state made him go. He had a choice whether to go to rehab or stay in jail. And so I took him and I gave him money and all the things because I just hope that he would change and that it would work.
Well, how was that compassionate towards you?
Well, I don't think it was that time.
So let's work on now and kind of how you want to move forward now. So let's just focus on you with this model. What do you want to do instead of overeat tonight. If you're feeling compassionate towards yourself, what do you want to do instead of overeat?
I want to continue with my journaling.
Okay.
And I don't want to feel like it's my fault because I know it's not. No. And I don't want to feel that way.
Okay. Is that a thought? It's not my fault? Does that feel compassionate?
I think so.
Feels better than I'm a bad mom, right?
A lot better.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't try to solve it, right? It doesn't try to change him because we know we can't do that. But how can we kind of reword "it's not my fault" into something that's a little bit more positively worded? Like, instead of "I'm a bad mom," what about something like "I did the best I could," or "I'm doing the best I can now"? Kind of wordy.
Yeah, I did the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I warned him because, you know, we have addiction in our family on both sides. And I'm, you know, I raised my kids very honestly and told them, you cannot even try it once or you might get addicted. And I mean, so I think I did do the best I could.
Do you believe that?
I do.
Yeah, it sounds like you do, right? Because there's a lot of moms that, you know, that don't believe that kind of have to work on, like, I'm working on believing I did the best I could. But you just, you know, you just went out and gave me all kinds of evidence of why you already believe that. Yeah. Does that feel compassionate towards you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it still may be just some days you may need to just practice. I'm working on believing. You know, there's some days you're working on believing it and some days it's rock solid, and that's okay too. Right.
Right.
It's not like, you know, beliefs are something, thoughts are something that you have to continue to practice, right? Or they will deteriorate over time. That's why, you know, Corinne, we always talk about with the planner, you know, you've got to write down your thoughts that you want to keep believing over and over again, because you can't just write it down once or say, oh, I believe that, and then never practice it again, right?
Right.
Kind of keep practicing it. And then if you start to kind of feel that you're wavering with it, be like, okay, Today I'm working on believing that, and that's okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So journaling, is there anything else? Following your plan?
Yes, definitely following my plan.
You got your plan. That's decided, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you just work on, you know, I work on doing the best I can in all the areas, instead of looking for the bad in all the areas, right?
Right.
And so this is just something that, this is the intentional model that you're just practicing. But again, I just love how you just gave me all that evidence of I did the best I could, right? And so that thought is already pretty strong for you. So I think that's a good thing to practice. And continue to practice. So you have any questions?
No, I'll have to go back and look at this because I didn't write anything down, but that's okay. I'll watch it again.
So that's good news, but so it'll be up tomorrow. So just keep going with that. And then, you could also just even do some more models, right? In terms of what other thoughts create compassion. It may be different thoughts, compassion for you versus compassion for him. And so you could explore that too. So just kind of build off of this to do some additional models.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I just realized, y'all, I didn't change my name. There I am. Okay. Because some of you newbies may not even know me. I'm Coach Betsy, by the way. All right, let's get Mary Ann. I know she was in the chat talking, or in the Q&A. All right, oops. Okay, unmute. I'll ask you to start your video. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? What's going on?
So much.
So much. All right, well, tell me everything. I had a coach one time that would say that. She'd say, tell me everything. So,
what's going on? Well, let's see. Last year, you know, I separated from my husband. So I had that whole marriage stress thing going on. And now that we've been separated, I've been able to remove that part. So that's good. But being in limbo with my marriage is upsetting. And then I got laid off 2 weeks ago from my job. Mm-hmm. And in February, my boss had sat me down and said that I had an attitude problem. He said that with everything going on in my family, my little brother has bipolar disorder, and my mom has hoarding disorder, and I'm separated from my husband. And so I have all this stuff going on, and he told me I was starting to have an attitude problem, and I worked with them for more than 5 years, and I actually thought I was going to be there for a long time, but with the COVID-19, he used that as an excuse to lay me off, and which I suppose is probably a good thing. But I my husband's been saying that, you know, I have all this anger coming off of me all the time now. And I grew up with parents with very hot tempers, and they were angry all the time. And I swore to myself I wouldn't turn out like that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm 48 years old now, and I think the entire time I've been buffering those feelings of anger by eating. Mm-hmm. And I joined the tribe a year ago, and I'm now heavier than I was when I joined the tribe. And
why do you think that is?
I think I started out, you know, excited, and I lost 5 pounds. Then I went back and forth with the 5 pounds all the time, and kept telling myself, okay, there's something I'm missing. I'm not getting it. You know, each person's different. There has to be the why for me. And, I can come up with all sorts of different whys, but it just seems like I can't get a handle on it. And I feel like now everything's worse because I'm trying not to overeat. So I'm feeling those feelings, and my feelings feel like they're out of control. So how I feel shame, and I feel hurt, and that comes out, and I get angry about it because I don't know how to handle it. And just recently I was on Facebook talking on some public forum, and I talked about this in the tribe already, but a couple of our friends who I thought were my friends went to my husband and complained to him about whatever I had posted. And I immediately got angry and thought, why didn't they come to me? Why didn't they say, hey, Marianne, I have an issue with what you've said. And so I immediately felt hurt. And I know that's expectations on my part, that I expected them as friends of mine to come to me and not complain about me behind my back. The same thing happened at work when my boss sat me down. He said, everybody gossips about you every day, Marianne, because we don't understand what's wrong, why you're upset. And so my response was, well, if I'm upset, why don't you come to me and ask me why I'm upset? Why is everybody talking about me and no one's talking to me?
You definitely got anger that you want to work on.
Yes.
You've given me a lot of circumstances. So what is kind of the one thing that you want to, because it's all connected, right? And it's all connected with everything else. So what's the one thing that you want to, I got to get some new markers, y'all. that you want to work on, the one circumstance that we can focus on tonight? Is it the your conversation with your boss, or with, you know, with your, there we go.
I think, I guess probably the most recent thing, I guess, is probably what I should work on. And that's having these people talk to my husband and complain about whatever I put on Facebook.
Okay.
Without coming to me.
Okay. So post on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And so they said things on Facebook. That's the circumstance. Whatever that post is, we kind of put a little picture of it up there in that C line.
Yeah, and what's funny is my post, they're complaining about something that I responded to on a public forum. Mm-hmm. So they're complaining to my husband about seeing it and then saying, you know, Marianne saying all this stuff on Facebook. And my husband doesn't like Facebook. He hates it. And so he's not on it. So whenever he hears something about Facebook, he gets very angry and he's like, why do you people even use Facebook? Causes nothing but problems. So it's, I guess it's their response to whatever I posted. And what I had to explain to my husband, I said, I didn't post anything that was personal. It was scientific information. It was a discussion about the virus.
Okay.
And one of my friends is on the front lines in the hospital, and I was saying, well, this is what she's telling me the doctors are saying.
So what is the problem? What is the problem that made you so angry?
Talking about me behind my back.
Okay. So people talk behind your back. People, it sounds like people at work talk behind your back. People are going to do that, right?
Right.
Control that. So what? People talk behind your back. What do you make that mean about you?
That they think I'm stupid.
Okay. Do you think you're stupid?
No.
Okay.
But I've been told that all my life.
Okay. So what do you make it mean about you when other people think that you're stupid?
I think I feel like I have no voice.
I think that's what it is. Why do you think you need to have a voice? Why are you crying?
Been crying for days.
It's okay. That means you're feeling, right?
Yeah.
When you're crying, you're not eating, right, to cover it up.
That's true.
I always say, I wish I cried more. Because, I mean, you know, if you're crying, that means you're feeling your emotions.
I want to be important. I don't know.
Do you want other people to think you're important?
I want other people to care what I think or what I say.
Yeah. And we can't control that, right?
No.
All we can control is us. And we can think we're important, right? We can care about ourselves. That's really all we can control. So knowing that, do you think you have a voice? Or do you think you need to have a voice? You do have a voice. But it's just, you know, we all have a voice, but it's when we attach expectations onto that, it gets us in trouble and expecting certain responses and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You can always voice things. But then it's just not having the expectations of how other people are going to respond or not respond. And that kind of stuff. So where do you want to go from here?
I'm at a loss. I have no idea.
I mean, you just may be at a place where you're not ready to change this yet. You just, instead of reading, it's time to just start feeling anger. You say you cry. Is that a way of you feeling your anger? Or do you think you're still covering it up?
I don't know. Maybe still covering it up.
I had a friend tell me the other day, she said, I heard in your voice, you need a good cry and you need to like hit a pillow and, you know, just get out some of that emotion. And that just may be where you need to be right now, where you are just not trying to change anything, but just feeling what you're feeling right now. And that's, I know that's not super fun, but that's the first step before you can work to change how you feel.
Yeah, I guess.
Have you thought about how you might want to feel about something like this? If this, you know, this doesn't change, right?
Right. I know that people are going to talk about you. They talk about everybody. That's just the way people are. I don't want to be sensitive about it. I don't want it to bother me. But
how could it not bother you?
Pardon?
How could it not bother you?
Well, I know Corinne always yells about it's just a thought. People are allowed to have their thoughts. This is why I come on coaching calls with you, Betsy, because I'm afraid to go on with Corinne. She yells at me.
Oh, God, I'm not yell.
She's like, you're a grown-ass fucking woman. Everybody has their own opinions.
But here's like, the other thing that she says a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we think that everybody is just talking about us all the time, and they're not, right? Most of us are focusing on ourselves most of the time. Right. Now there's sometimes where other people are talking about you, and that's where you just got to be like, okay, they just get to do that and they get to have their opinion and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think the turning point for me was when in February, when my boss actually emailed me and said, everybody talks about you every day, Marianne.
Well, you got some proof, right? That actually does happen.
Yes. So there's my proof.
Yes,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say then that can lead to your mind kind of going like, well, then that means everyone's talking about me.
Right.
That's kind of where your mind can go, where it's, you know, when you get some definitive proof, then you think, oh, well, if they're talking about me, then everybody in my life is talking about me all the time. Your brain kind of expands on that. And so that's what you got to watch for, where it's like, no, that doesn't mean that everybody in the world is talking about me. It just means this small group is, and they get to do that. And I can't control that.
Yeah, I suppose so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just very hard to hear that all these people who I thought were my, this is the other thing. You think people are your friends, and I have expectations of my friends not to be talking about me behind my back. And then my boss told me, you know, no one likes working with you anymore. Everybody talks about you behind your back. And those were things that he actually said. And so that was really hard.
I mean, he gets to say that. And I mean, you can think, you can believe it or not, right? I mean, he told you that, but we don't have definitive proof, right? And so it's just like, okay, maybe that's true. So what? How do I want to show up? If I can't stop them from talking about me and I just get to control me.
Yeah.
How do you want to show up? And for you, it just may be like, okay, I'm just going to be angry about this for a while. And I'm not going to cover it up with food and just be pissed, be angry, have a good cry, maybe punch a pillow. And then I get to decide how to move on from there. But the first step is owning where you are right now and accepting where you are right now.
So I'm not a bad person for being angry.
No. Is that what you think?
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Everyone feels angry sometimes. You know, Corinne talks about feeling angry, like how she just immediately goes to anger with, you know, things with Chris. And believe me, I've seen her feel, I've been around when she felt angry. But she owns it, right? She's not thrilled with it. It's not like we have to love our anger. But it's just, okay, this is part of that 50% of the negative emotion that we all feel. We're not all supposed to feel, you know, happy all the time. And that's just part of that compassion that we have to have for ourselves, where it's like, okay, this is just that time that part of life that I feel angry, and it's okay. And when you allow yourself to feel angry and not feel that, then it's much more likely to go away quicker, right? When you're not resisting it and thinking that you're terrible for feeling it. Because you never want to feel bad for feeling anything. Because that's when the resistance comes.
Right.
And that's when the eating starts, right? Oh, I shouldn't feel angry, so let me eat and cover it up. Then you feel worse.
Right.
And, you know, it goes from there. So
sometimes I get so angry that I think I end up eating because I can't stand feeling the way I'm feeling.
Yeah, it's not even really the anger that you're covering up. It's the judgment that you're feeling angry that you're trying to cover up. You're beating yourself up so bad for feeling angry. Well, if you just felt the anger, you could just feel it and then you'd be done. So that's why I want this model, you to just work on this model of in your action. This is for everybody. Y'all need to have more intentional models where the action line is to feel the feeling. And we have an amazing worksheet in the feeling lesson in OBS, Feeling the Feels worksheet, where you sit and you feel a feeling. You pay attention to how it feels in your body. And you just allow yourself to feel it. That's what I want you to do. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good call. You got so much good support in the chat. And I think this is really going to be beneficial to a lot of people. Just to feel.
I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Betsy.
Right. Take care. See ya.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Oh my gosh, y'all, these calls tonight have been so good. Okay, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody, y'all. It's already 6:20, but I'll just keep going down the line. Natty and Lisa, we got two Lisas. Okay, unmute. Hey.
Well, sorry, I'm just going into another room.
Okay. I'm not as car sick as Corinne is. So.
It showed up real quick.
Yeah.
So I am a newbie in the tribe. This is my first coaching call. But really, my weight loss journey started December 2018. I'm down 90 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
And I really joined the tribe to lose the last few pounds and, you know, aspects of things.
Okay.
And what I realized is that whenever I get praised for...
Oh, your signal's not good.
Say like, oh, you're so angry. You're by. And what I reckon that really is... hello?
Okay. Yeah, your signal's not great. But I think I kind of got the gist of it. Let me take your video off and see if that might help. Are you there?
I'm changing my Wi-Fi.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
She's cutting out. I think I got the gist of your question, Natty. So, oh wait, there you are. Okay, you're back. No? Okay. Are you there? You kind of sound real muffled.
Okay.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I took you off your video because that might help a little bit. So you were talking about getting praise.
Okay. Yeah, and I changed the Wi-Fi network that I'm connected to. So I think if you want to restart the video, it should be
better. Okay, great.
But what I noticed is that whenever I get praised, then I would end up binging. So I posted on the Facebook group and some people helped me come up with feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And really the feeling is that I'm unworthy of the praise or that I haven't earned it.
Okay.
And then...
So why do you think you haven't earned it?
I tried to journal on it and everything that I write is like, you know, I thought about who my future self would be, and I'm that person. Like, I enjoy eating healthy. I enjoy working out. Like, when you ask me what my self-care is, it's like, when I'm really frustrated, I want to get a good sweat in, you know? So and whenever I journal, everything comes out so positive.
Mm-hmm.
But when people give me praise, it just feels, at first I'm like, oh, thank you so much, and you can do it. But like, inside, but then I end up eating over it.
So inside, what is happening inside? What are you making that mean that leads you to eat? Have you come up with any feelings?
I think like unworthy. And the other thought that I came up with is, and the other feeling is shame.
Right.
Shame that I became the person that needed to lose 100 pounds.
Okay.
In the first place.
Yeah.
So
you are, you have identified the thoughts, right? It's praise, and you think, well, but I shouldn't have been the person that needed to lose all this weight to begin with. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the shame. And then, I mean, and that's the unworthiness. I mean, the shame kind of moves into unworthiness where it's like, well, I don't deserve for them to praise me because I needed to lose this much weight anyway.
Yeah, so I guess I'm trying to figure out what other thoughts and the thoughts that I've came up with in the circumstance when I'm receiving praise is like, I've worked really hard, I've earned this, and part of me knows that that's true.
But it's not.
But it still doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for you, it may just be kind of a laddering thought like, okay, I'm working on believing that I do, you know, I am worthy of this, or that I did deserve to lose weight, or that it's okay that, I mean, I think for you, it's a matter of even just, you know, it's coming up because of the praise, but it's more about you rethinking, kind of retelling your story, rewriting your story.
Mm-hmm.
About being okay with the fact that you needed to lose that much weight to begin with, right? Like that you got to, you know, the weight that you were, and how can you be okay with that?
What I recently did is I wrote a letter to my old self.
Yes.
And I shared that with my accountability group. And it's just whenever I write, it's also positive, which I feel like I'm not censoring my writing. But I wrote all about how proud I was of that person who recognized that she was, in rock bottom and needed to make a change and needed to get out of her comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But it's like, obviously, I'm having all those other thoughts that are just not coming through.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that just kind of comes with practice of just the conversation that we had, let you kind of get to the real thought. Mm-hmm. And you may want us to, we kind of started with a feeling, right? It's like, okay, why, when I feel unworthy, I'm thinking this. When I feel shame, I'm thinking this. Those are the kind of questions you can ask yourself to kind of get to those, to get to those thoughts that are, those unintentional thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you don't want to beat yourself up for being, for journaling.
Yeah.
You don't want to use that against yourself.
Right.
But you also, just want to be aware of, because there's still some stories that you're telling yourself that
mm-hmm.
you're just kind of pushing down because you're thinking, oh, I need to be more positive. But it's like, well, okay, let me, but no, it's important that I get this awareness out of just what these thoughts really are. So it just kind of takes some practice to just kind of peel back a few layers and then you say, okay, what is this really about? And it just may be a matter of kind of sitting with yourself and saying like, okay, it's okay. It's okay for us to get this because there may be some fear there of you seeing those thoughts on paper that, if you see them, that you might start to believe them and you might start to, do you ever have fear of gaining the weight back that you've lost?
It's funny that you say that because I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah. So it's all connected, right? Because it's, your brain is probably telling you, oh no, let's not write those thoughts down. That those thoughts that are still painful and that are still, because that just might, then we just might gain the weight back, right? And you've got to take control and say, no, words words don't hurt me, right? Words don't make me gain weight. They're just words on paper. And so that'll be a really good exercise for you to just take control and just take, ownership of, okay, it's okay for me to, these are just sentences in my mind. They don't have to go all the way through the model and result in overeating. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just working on awareness. That's what's so important right now.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, even though I haven't been on the tribe for that long, like today is a day where I posted something on Instagram and, people are like all over it. And I was like, okay, well, in the past, this had made me feel unworthy and I typically overeat, but I have my plan, it's realistic, my meal. So I've had urges, but I've been able to like sit with them.
Yes.
And not eat over it, even though I don't quite really know the thought, but I knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really helpful.
Been able to sit with the urges?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think this is just all really, really good practice for you because I just think, we identified some thoughts where, you're having some shame around getting to the point that you were, but I think you also have some thoughts that you need to become more aware of, like this won't last, or I might gain it back. If, you want to really examine those thoughts that are maybe leading to fear of gaining the weight back as well.
Would it be like a latter thought? So like after I had a binge, like my first thought was like, I'm going to gain all the way back eating like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my next thought, basically my intentional motto, what I said was, if I eat like this every day, which I don't.
Okay.
So because I know that to expect to never binge again is unrealistic. It's right. Just if it's a pattern of behavior that's, I overfeel all the time.
Yeah, that may be a very realistic, because there's no rules around, which thoughts you know, you're supposed to think or not, right? If that's a thought really realistic for you, like a next step thought, just to remind yourself that, yeah, that like, I don't do this every day. So, you know, chill out, brain. You know, we're not going to gain all of our weight back tomorrow, right? Our brain just wants to go into that panic mode. And so, yeah, that may, if that thought is serving you in terms of getting you out of that panic place and saying, okay, this is just something I do. It's not every day. And yeah, so I think for you, it's just, and it's great that you kind of came up with that thought yourself, right? That, okay, this is a good next step thought for me. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then, you know, you can, I mean, you may want to stay with that thought for a while. And then you may want to move forward with another one, but that's a sounds like it's a great ladder thought that's working right now, getting you
out of
that panic place. So you're just really in that, I mean, you're doing exactly what you intended to do with joining PNP, right? You're really working on the mental piece and, you know, you're working on the mental piece from a place of not gaining your weight back and really thinking about, okay, what thoughts are related to that. So you're doing great. You're doing the work and just working on that awareness. Keep journaling, keep, you know, peeling back those layers. And when you find yourself, you know, not able to get to the thought, just really kind of continue to challenge yourself. And I just think with practice, you'll keep moving forward. So you're doing great.
Well, I'll definitely re-listen to this call once it posts, because you mentioned some journal prompts that I think will be really helpful for me.
And I think, that's what I think would really help you. And of course, we have the journal prompts that are in the front of the planner, that some of those may be good. And then I almost think with our courses, that we're going to continue to do more and more journal prompts. Of course, in the self-love course, there's some really good ones. And so you just never know which one will kind of uncover some thoughts that haven't been able to get to. So yeah, keep working on it. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
I'm glad her, internet went better. All right, Lisa. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm so excited I got picked.
Yes. Well, you raised your hand and you waited.
I know. I'm very excited.
Yes.
So I joined in January and I was kind of riding the high of being very excited and motivated. And then, and you're nodding your head, and then it kind of wore off, right? And then my weight started climbing up and I wasn't doing my plans. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to take a chance and join an accountability group. And I did. And I joined late March, early April when COVID came in. And I'm a healthcare worker. I'm a PA and I work at a breast center. So I take care of breast cancer patients. So I was like, I think I need some people to be accountable for. I tend to do better when I'm accountable to someone outside of myself to kind of help. So we have a threesome of us and we're going to get together tomorrow night. And I was doing great the first week that I had them. I lost 3.6 pounds. And then I thought my thoughts were, oh, a little bit won't hurt. I can, I kind of went off plan. Mm-hmm. A few times, and then it started back in the evening, and then I was frustrated with myself when I got on the scale. Then I worked through the happy scale thing, and then the last 4 or 5 days I was doing better, and then I started back with the nighttime eating. And I go back to that first call. I feel like you just like spoke right to me in that first caller tonight. Last night I felt very irritable. I went back to work. I was off last week on vacation. And I went back to work this week and I have mom guilt that I'm not home with my children to help them because they're 14 and 12. And that seemed to be the thing that upset me last night, and then I went on a chocolate binge. So I was.
Oh, I mean, you gave me a lot of information, but I mean, it's just a matter of like, I just pulled out. Okay, let's work on this circumstance, right? Because it's all connected in terms of, you know, it may have been a different circumstance with, you know, another time that you've overeaten, right? But it's just a matter of kind of working through one thing at a time. So let's do this mom guilt, because I'm sure this will be beneficial for a lot of other people too. So why do you feel guilty for going back to work?
Because my kids seemed on different occasions last week when I was home, they're like, "Mom, it was so good having you home." I feel like they thrive better with structure and someone kind of saying, you know, I'm there for them. And I'm not physically there for them this week now that I'm back at work. And my one son didn't do great on a quiz. This online learning is like, and then my other son had some negative comments on his report card. So immediately I went to, I'm doing a crappy job as a mom. And if I was doing a better job, then this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's this, I'm not there for them. And you think of that as like physically, you're not there. But then it kind of grows into that, like, I'm not there for them, you know, period. Right. Like, I must not.
Right.
If he's not doing well on his quiz and all this kind of stuff, it turns into I'm not just physically not there for them, but I must not be doing something right as a mom. Otherwise. And so, yeah, so it's becoming aware of that thought. I mean,
I did a model this morning about yesterday, because it was kind of a shit show. I was irritable and I kind of wrote about it and it came out. My brain figured it out that I felt like I was failing them as a mom.
Yeah.
And the feeling I came was, you know, I felt shitty and I felt in despair or guilty. Mm-hmm. And then interestingly enough, my actions were snap at them, like give them orders. I was trying to like rein everything back in and go into control mode when I came home from work. Like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then I ate at night to relieve that feeling of guilt. I don't know. Yeah. Chocolate just seemed like it would fix it.
Yeah. So guilt, and it's, I also heard you say, you said like, I'm not showing up for them as a mom, something like
that. I'm failing them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm failing them. So, okay, mm-hmm. I'm failing them. Yeah, okay. I'm failing them. So then you kind of overcompensate.
Yeah.
Overcompensate and then overeat.
And then overeat.
And so the result, I need some new markers. Is you fail, continue to fail them and yourself.
Oh, right. I am establishing bad relationship patterns with my kids.
Yeah.
And they're not going to listen because I'm kind of, you know, barking orders.
Right.
And I'm not showing up as the best version of the mom I want to be.
Right. And then, you're not showing up as the best version of you as a mom with what you're doing with the overcompensating. Mm-hmm. And then you're not showing up as the best version of you as a, you know, a person who is losing weight and, taking care of herself by overeating.
Right.
So that you just, this thought, I'm failing them. Your brain hears fail. Like, okay, if we're failing, then we need to fail in everywhere. The brain just says, "Oh, I guess we're failing now. Let's get to failing, and so let's scan the environment and see how we can fail in every way that we possibly could. And so let's, you know, yell at the kids. Let's overeat. Let's maybe yell at the husband or whatever too. Just, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so And so that comes from that thought of just I'm failing."
And it happened so fast. Like, I remember finishing dinner. And I'm at my plus two. And then immediately I sit on the couch and had that quiet moment. And I listened to the podcast this week about eating at eight. PM with Kathy and Corinne, and it was the quiet moment because it was the loop running in my head that I'm failing them and chocolate, and I couldn't stop. It was like two chocolate bites, two chocolates. It was like,
you're desperate for some relief, right? I like to think of it when we're judging ourselves, when we're saying those, that we have that loop, that tape in our head. Mm-hmm. I like to describe it like I'm beating myself up from the inside, like I'm black and blue on the inside, you know, like
yeah.
I'm beating myself up on the inside. So absolutely you're looking for some relief. You're tired of getting beat up.
That makes sense.
And chocolate is, you know, has been the answer.
Yeah.
Of course, that usually results in more beating up, you know, in the long term.
It's immediately not, after it know, did.
It's not the answer that you know, that's benefiting you, but that's just where your brain goes. Like, well, we usually eat chocolate now, so let's just throw up an urge for chocolate because that's what Lisa's always mm-hmm. done. So let's just continue to do that. But it's a matter of,
okay. I wanted a pause. I really did want to pause. I wanted to be like, shift my perspective, but it just happened so fast.
But just the fact that you're now, it's all these little, I mean, this has kind of been the theme of tonight, right? Like these little incremental wins that you have to pay attention to. And just the fact that you're saying, okay, I understand what happened. It happened really fast. I understand that I could have paused or I want to pause. That is such a win right there. Do you see that?
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
We have got to work on every single little win we can get in, right? Because otherwise, right. we're going to just bury ourselves in. We've got it. You know, we've been talking about equal airtime lately. You know, with okay, we can still beat ourselves up. It's going to happen. But let's just give, like, finding some wins, some equal airtime. And that's when we have that question in the planner every day. What's one thing I did right? What's one win I had?
So awareness, even after the fact, is a win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Why wouldn't it be? I mean, that's what I want to ask you. I mean,
because I feel like it didn't stop me.
Well, but maybe that's okay because at least you had the awareness. Now I feel like I'm yelling a little bit. I'm sorry. But it's okay. So you didn't have the awareness before, but you had the awareness after. You had awareness. That's a win, right? And so maybe next time you might have a little awareness before. Here's the thing, though. Don't expect to just have the awareness and not overeat and all this kind of, right? I mean, it's like maybe the next incremental win is to have the awareness before you eat, but maybe you still eat, but you still have the win of the awareness. Like, oh, this is when I could pause if I wanted to, but no, mm-hmm. I'm still going to eat. Mm-hmm. But that's another win right there where it's like, oh, I slowed down the process a little bit, right? That's how incremental we're talking about here.
Okay.
That's, you know, we don't just go from overeating to not overeating and it was so easy, right? I mean,
it's like she talks about, like, there's no magic.
Yeah, there's no magic. I mean, my favorite, Darcy, one of my favorite tribe members, said, I am the magic. There's no magic from Corinne. You are the magic. And the part of that magic is to recognize every single little win that you can.
Well, and that was good today. Like, I did reach out to my accountability group and the two people I work with, and I said, if I can't be honest and tell you that I really had a bad night, then I can't be authentically me and be vulnerable. Like, I need to tell you this, and this is how I felt. And they were really good about, like, looking at what were you thinking, you know, tell me about what was going on. And the mom guilt came out. And then at the very end, when we kind of ended things, I said, I'm always humbled by how much my thoughts directly affect my actions toward food.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's how the model works, right? Thoughts create feelings.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's always comes from a thought. And that's why we just want to work on that awareness of the thoughts, not even to change them right away. But the awareness has to be the first step of, oh, I'm doing this because I'm thinking this.
Yeah.
And just sitting with that for a while, that's huge right there. And like, okay, I understand this is happening now. And from there, you can work on moving forward. But the awareness has to happen first, and it has to happen, you know, in its own time, in terms of like, it has to kind of sink in sometimes where you really learn to accept it and just meet yourself where you are. So
I like the post-it idea you had. If that's something that, like, I think in the moment, if I had something that said, you know, is going to this going to fix, I don't know. I can't figure out what I would say on a post-it, but.
You know what I want to do? I've had some ideas lately about some posts that I could do in Facebook. And I think a really good post would be, like, show us your post-it notes, you know, in your kitchen.
Oh, that would be really good.
Don't you think that would be good?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, that would just give y'all ideas on what you could do and what you could write. But it would just be a neat visual, too, just to see everybody's post-it notes.
The visual cue is good. And I think that leads from, like, an awareness of pause. But then there's, like, you're seeing it, and you're seeing it's prompting your brain to that conscious part of our brain to say, do I really want it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's totally what it is.
Yeah.
That's a way to pause, right? That's just a visual way to pause and say, you know, and again, you may still decide to eat or whatever it is, but you still are practicing pausing and making that conscious decision and not just responding to your habit brain and your.
Yeah.
Primal brain. So yeah, so good. So good. Good stuff. This was such a good.
You're so good.
Well, thank you. I'm telling you what, y'all, all these calls today have just been epic. It's really beneficial, I think.
Yeah.
So, but that means that y'all are doing the work, right? You're really getting into the work. And I'm just so happy that y'all are just, you're working it, you're doing it. So. And that's about
Lemon together can accomplish amazing things.
Yes. Okay. One more thing. I made a note down here, and you were talking about accountability and accountability groups and stuff. Have you done the Mastering Accountability course?
No.
Okay.
I haven't. I haven't done it.
Okay. Just the way that you were talking about, you know, like I need accountability from someone outside of me. And there's not anything wrong with that, but ultimately the purpose of having an accountability group is to eventually be able to be accountable to yourself. Right. And that Mastering Accountability course, you know, really teaches you all kinds of things about that. So I highly recommend that for you to everybody.
Okay.
All right. Okay, good call. Talk to you later.
Sounds great. Thanks. Right. Thank you so much. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Bye. I can smell the taco meat cooking, y'all. My husband has come through. I think I'm going to have dinner. All right, Lisa, see if I can ask you to start your video. Unmute you. I can't unmute you. I'm not sure how to unmute you. Marianne, I think that's just a little glitch with Zoom, is that you can't see what, I hate that, because you can't see what people said while you were on the call. So I think that the chat cuts off when you're on the call for some reason. Lisa, I'm not seeing you on here, so I'm going to take you back down to, I still can't hear you. Kate, see if I can get you on here. Okay. Kate, are you there? Am I? There you are. Okay.
I'm here.
Hello.
Let me move upstairs.
All right. Kate, and then Joy, you're up. I'll let Joy know that she's fast. All right. What's going on?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
I've been going through the self-love course this month. Okay. I can't hear you.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me? Hear me?
Let me take my headphones.
Okay. Are you there? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. I'll just have to hear you through my headphones.
Okay. All right.
So I've been doing the self-love course this month, and it's definitely been an eye-opener for like a lot of different reasons, but my weight isn't moving. So every day this week, I've modeled my weight, whatever it is, I've modeled all my thoughts about it. And I just find myself, even though I come up with thoughts in the morning that I get to that I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at the small changes, the positive things. I'm still kind of struggling with the fact that the scale is just not moving.
Okay. Why is it not moving?
That's what I like today. I was like looking at curiosity. Mm-hmm. I struggle a bit with my plus two, but not to the point that I should be stuck here. I've been following my plans. I've been keeping all of my data. I'm not sure.
Okay. So if you were to, the easy answer to that is you're still overeating somewhere if the scale isn't moving, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you have to guess, what is, because, you know, we can't know for sure, right? I mean, it's just a matter of guessing and kind of from curiosity, what is one thing that you could tweak this week to see if that will get the scale moving?
I journaled about that today. Mm-hmm. And I had come up with maybe trying to do a discovery plan, a discovery sheet anytime I eat standing up.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I always am counting that in my hunger scale or in anything. Uh-huh. So even though I'm eating on plan, I usually will grab foods that I plan, but I'm not necessarily. I don't think I'm always as in tune with my hunger if I'm standing up.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to work on not eating standing up, but then if you do, you're going to do every worksheet.
Yes.
I think that's an amazing plan. And I think that is just something that is totally doable. You're getting honest with yourself that, okay, this is something that maybe could make the difference, right? Because it may even just be a few extra bites. You know, a day that's just keeping you where you are.
Right.
So I just think to focus on one very specific thing, eating's like I am committed to not eating standing up. But if I do, I'm absolutely going to do discovery worksheet, figure out what's going on, and then move forward with continuing to practice not eating standing up. I think that is so doable, so realistic, but you only want to do that for maybe even a couple weeks or a month. Only focus on that to give your body time to adjust, you know, continue to weigh yourself, continue to be curious and just say, okay, but this is what I'm focusing on right now with working on getting the scale moving and practicing some patience with that.
Okay. Yeah. So the frustration thoughts, they're just natural and I just need to keep working them every day.
Okay. And so the frustration is probably coming from a thought like, I'll never figure this out or, you know, something like that.
I have a different one written down for the past 5 days. Okay.
But for you, it needs to be a model of, so the, you know, discovery worksheet or, you know, I'm just going to call it the standing up discovery worksheet plan.
Worksheet. Okay.
And that needs to come like, so scale, or no weight loss is the circumstance. And so for you, what do you want to think that will lead you to, you know, to do this, that we talked, this plan that we talked about, instead of I'll never figure it out, or I'm doing everything and it's not working?
I've tried, I've tried with the scale that's one measure of my success.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried that this might just be a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of thoughts that I kind of at least will open me up to being curious.
Yes, curious. And I love the curious feeling. So yeah, it may just like, I'm working on this.
Okay.
You know, or I'm working on figuring it out. Something like that. Just a simple thought like that.
Okay.
And that, you know, that can keep you in that curious place.
It's place.
Because it's, you know, it's, you don't know, again, you don't know exactly what it is, right? And you just want to stay curious and be like, okay, I'm going to try this for a few weeks, see if this gets the scale moving. And if not, I'll try something.
Well, before the self-love course, I would just try to ignore it. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited that the self-love course has gotten me to the place where I'm tracking it and I'm being like aware of it, and I'm willing to go down this path.
Yeah.
Because before then I would consider it a judgment of me and keep sticking my head in the sand about it. So I feel like I've made so much progress to be here.
That's what's so amazing about the self-love course. It's almost like it's so great to do that. You know, just to do the course over and over again at different points in your weight loss, because that judgment can just kind of sneak back in every once in a while. And the whole purpose of the self-love course is to drop the judgment, right?
Yeah.
And to work on and to just be committed to moving forward and keeping staying curious. Yeah. So you're
perfect.
Great that you did that course and just go back through it again. You know, I love it that it has those 30 days of journal prompts that you can just keep doing over and over again.
Yes. And when I did it with some of my accountability group, and we meet every week on Zoom, and we are discussing it, and we've gotten so much out of it.
Love it. I love it. That's a great course to do as a group.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Thanks. That helps a lot.
Yes. Keep us posted on what you learn and stuff. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, Miss Joy. You're going to be the last one. I'm sorry I couldn't get. Hey.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So I have been keeping track of every off-plan or overeat discovery worksheet for a while. And I definitely have a pattern, and that is that so for all of April, every off-plan or overeat I've had has been the same pattern.
Okay.
So I would really love to break this pattern, obviously, but it's in bed at night around 9 p.m., when I'm winding down. And so the things I can tell you what I've tried.
Okay.
And then I've actually made a list of the thoughts that I had in those moments. What I don't see, and maybe it's so clear and I just don't see, is like a pattern to those thoughts. 'Cause I'd like to work on stopping it with the thought that's leading to it. I mean, I have some behavioral ideas too, but I just feel like I really want to work on the thought. So what I've tried so far is reporting it to my accountability group. And I don't like to do that, but it doesn't seem to necessarily be a deterrent.
Okay.
I've tried thinking of it. I remember Corinne saying one time about something else. She was talking about when you're trying to figure out what someone else is thinking, that's just a dead stop. And that helped me so much with that I've tried that same language with eating in bed. It's a dead stop.
Mm-hmm.
And still, it's not like that. My brain doesn't, I haven't responded as well to that. And then I've tried doing a worksheet, an urge worksheet, before I get into bed every night. Because once an urge starts, my brain is resist that worksheet. I don't even want to see it. So those are the things I've tried. And then my list of my thoughts are, here's the thoughts that I would really love to see if there's like a common thread here. So these are the ones I've had in April. It's just a small cookie. I'm going to give into this urge later tonight anyway. I don't want to miss out on that, and someone else may finish it. I'll have this one more time today and then not anymore for a while. I already ate one bite off plan. I might as well have more. And I'm upset, and this will help. Mm-hmm. So that's all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. But maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't know.
They're all just excuses and justifications.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they're just, and they're probably ones that are, have been reinforced.
Right.
Over and over again. I mean, the kind of a theme that I hear is just, it's just kind of that, it's almost like the most dangerous kind of thoughts or justifications, where they're just like, it's not like you're beating yourself up big time, like, let's just go all out and just, you know, face first into ice cream. It's just, it's that kind of tone of boy, and so you're just kind of fooling yourself with thinking, like, it'll be okay. It's all those kind of theme thoughts.
Okay. So that maybe that is the thread, is this isn't as bad as what I used to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you're not coming from this shameful.
Yeah. No.
Let me punish myself kind of place.
No.
But it's still resulting in you overeating.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's almost like your brain kind of goes, well, we're not beating ourselves up. We're just having a little something, something.
Yeah.
And that little thought like that, where it's just, well, it's still better than, cause it's not that just super mean voice anymore.
Yeah. Or the big binge. Like, I used to eat a lot. All my binges were always in bed at night, late, you know?
It's the thought with kind of this overarching theme of, but it's so much better than I used to do.
Yeah. Okay.
And you've got to, and that again, especially more into your journey, into your weight loss.
Yeah.
Journey, that is what trips you up, because
that makes sense.
You overeating. And again, doesn't matter what the amount is. And it's, and as you continue your weight loss journey, it's the smaller amounts that keep you from moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
From losing more weight. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just.
That helps. And
so, okay. So let's kind of come up with how to move forward from here in terms of, okay, you've recognized what it is. It's just, I'm doing so much better than I used to, but what are you going to, when you hear your brain saying something like that, what are you going to say instead, or what are you going to respond to? Respond with.
Yeah. I mean, my gut reaction to that is, I don't want to just be a little bit better than I used to. I want to figure this out. Like, that's my first,
I think I would cut out the first part of it, where it's like you're you don't want to kind of fight back or kind of argue back with it.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it needs to be something really simple, like just kind of cutting off that thought, maybe before the whole sentence gets out. And it's just like, no, we're working on this. It's a little bit of assertiveness.
Okay. Yeah.
Tough love kind of language, where it's, and then I want you to come up with a specific plan, whether it's going to be the pre-urge worksheet or whether it's, because the language you're using now is just allowing you to not do something that feels a little uncomfortable.
Right? Well, and I think that's why, like, when I was trying to tell myself it's just a dead stop, I think that made me, I was like, well, I don't know. That sounds a little
Like a like dead, just the word dead in there. That sounds fun.
But when I use that same phrase for thinking about what someone else is thinking, that didn't bother me. But something about like, it's like taking away my would-be. You know, so
let's say you're going to do the pre-urge worksheet.
Yeah.
You have a stack of pre-urge worksheets next to your bed.
The bed. Yeah.
And when you hear this bullshit come in, which is what it is, it's like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing this. We're
almost like I need to parent my brain in that moment. Yeah. I mean,
it's almost like your brain now, it's not like a toddler. It's like your brain kind of grown up to like a teenager, like a tween.
Yeah, I have three of those in my house, so I understand what that sounds like. And I parent them, I think, pretty well. So I'm going to
parent my own
tween brain. I'm going to write that down. Maybe that's it. My tween brain. That'll be my little phrase.
Tween brain now is just that,
yes.
A lot of conversation. There's not a lot of
force. It's just how it is.
This is how it is.
Yeah.
We do this now.
That helps me so much. You helped me find the thread between all those thoughts. Yeah. And that really is what I needed. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. All right.
Awesome. Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, y'all. I'll look and see if there's any questions and then we'll get out of here. Okay, Anonymous says, today I listened to Corinne talk about sitting with the discomfort of not continuing to eat food that tastes good, and I resolved to try it, and just hours later, I ate an entire pint of ice cream. I don't know why I didn't follow the advice. I had just resolved to try. Can you offer any insights? Yeah, you're just new at it, and you're practicing it. And anytime you're practicing something new, you're not going to be successful, very successful at first. But you got to keep moving forward, right? And so, okay, you ate the ice cream. Let's not just throw this opportunity away and learn from it. So I want you to absolutely do a discovery worksheet on that ice cream and figure out what you were thinking about and thinking, like, why you ate the ice cream. And let's learn from this, right? Let's not waste this opportunity to learn from it and move forward. And then maybe go back and listen to Corinne again and say, okay, what could I get out of this again that could help me move forward? And because I don't want you sitting in judgment of eating the ice cream. That doesn't help you one bit, right? Learn from it and move on. And so in that discovery worksheet is the first step with that, because it helps you understand why you did it and then what you could do differently. Okay. Okay, I think that's it. So let me see if there's anything else. Oh my gosh, y'all, such good calls today. I get emotional talking about it, because the fact that the things that you all came to me tonight to talk about are things that will change your life, and not just your weight loss life, not just help you lose weight, but will help you have a better life in so many areas. And so just the fact that these calls and what you all are working on, that you're doing the work, that you're bringing questions to the calls, that you're working on models, that you're writing your thoughts down, you're getting that awareness, you're doing discovery worksheets, you're planning binges, all the work that we ask you all to do in OBS and in the self-love course and your journaling and all of this stuff. It's just, you're doing the work, and it's messy sometimes. And, you know, it involves a lot of trial and error, and but you're getting on here and getting help with it. And that's just the best thing in the world for a coach to hear about, because when you're doing the work and I can be here to support you and help you through some of this stuff, it just means that I get to do my job, and that's the best thing in the world. So I just love you guys. Just keep doing the work, keep getting on here and doing and answer and asking questions. Corinne will be doing a Q&A on Saturday, as always these days. And so bring your questions there And then she'll be back coaching at noon on Sunday. So y'all, any of y'all want to get coached by Corinne, it is an experience. I've had plenty of experience with it, and it is amazing. So be sure and take advantage of that if you want to. And then we'll be back for office hours next week. So, all right, guys, take care and keep moving forward. All right. See ya. Bye.